You open us in a word of prayer, please. Amen. Amen. All right, Luke chapter 8, as we continue in Luke, verse 22, moving right along, verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake, and they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. There came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased. There was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? They, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. I'll be honest with you, I was real tempted tonight just to get the CD from Brother Knox's message on Monday night and play it. Amen. I mean, he just happened to preach in Mark 4 on the same exact place that we happen to be tonight. We can just chalk that up to circumstance. We could chalk it up to this morning's message. Maybe you weren't here to hear. Maybe you heard but need to hear it again. Maybe you heard but didn't listen. I don't know. Why would we have to preach the same passage twice in a week? Well, Lord knows what he's doing. This is where I'm at. So here it is. Amen. And after this morning's message, I just figure you need to hear it again. Amen. Notice in verse 22 of the passage, it came to pass, the Bible says, on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples. So who's in the ship? Jesus and all the disciples. And he said unto them, let us, all of them, go over on the other side of the lake. So, they're all together. Jesus and all the disciples, see, physically with them. The Bible says, can two walk together except they be agreed? These are what you call in fellowship one with another, literally. They're a bunch of fellows in the same ship. That's real fellowship. They're all together. See? Now, after they get going, they can't even get apart if they wanted to. Yeah, they're stuck together. Amen? Yeah, you get off in that ship. There's real fellowship going on here. And those disciples experienced real fellowship with Jesus Christ. Real fellowship with Him. More than we ever have. You say, why? Well, they actually got to physically fellowship with Jesus Christ. Can you imagine what that must have been like to actually see Jesus, touch Him, walk with Him, hear Him talk, watch Him as He performed the various miracles that He did on the water and raising the dead and healing the sick and the leper and the blind and the deaf and the mute, the maimed. Watching Him as He would discourse with the Pharisees and Sadducees and lawyers and tearing the shreds. Man, that would have been a blessing to see that. Huh? There with Him in that upper room, they were there. They experienced a fellowship with Jesus Christ we can't even imagine. Think about it. There with Him in the garden as He prayed and as they came and took Him to crucify Him. And then literally, visibly, physically seeing him 3 days later, alive from the dead, with the holes in his hands and in his feet and in his side. To see that, what that must have been like. And then what happens? Look with me in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, we looked at this passage in Sunday school this morning. Acts chapter 1. Then what happens is, well, he's got to go away. He's got to leave them. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but ye shall receive power. When? After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That happens in Acts chapter 2, next chapter. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and in the othermost parts of the earth. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, they're looking at him, they're with him, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. Now, you know what happens? A few days later, Holy Ghost comes down, right? What's the whole purpose of that? Well, what did Jesus promise? He said, he promised them, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. But then he leaves them. But he really doesn't. What does he do? Look in John chapter 14. You know what he's going to do? He's going to show up again. But this time, not physically. This time, spiritually. John chapter 14, look with me please in verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace give I unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You don't have to be troubled anymore. You don't have to be afraid anymore. I'm going to be with you. Look, verse 16. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. That's Jesus talking. I will come to you. So when the Holy Spirit comes, that's the Spirit of Christ. Is Jesus then with them once again? This time maybe not physically, but he's still with them and they know it. Anybody here have Jesus with you? I hope you didn't come here to find Jesus. I hope you brought him with you when you came here this evening. Amen? But he's with you, but you can't prove it. I don't see it. See, he's with us now spiritually by way of the Holy Spirit. So now look back with me in Luke chapter 8. I said all that to say this. They go into that boat with the Lord Jesus Christ. They're in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then what does the Lord do? Look at verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples and said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. Now maybe it's just me. I think most of you probably would assume the same thing. Jesus did not accidentally fall asleep. Jesus went to sleep on purpose. Why? Why? Why would he do that? Now, he's still with them. Kind of. You know, you can have somebody with you, but if they're asleep, are they with you? Well, yeah, they're there, but they're not there. Why? They're asleep. Why does Jesus go to sleep? What's he doing? You know, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, you can check it out if you want, or you can just take my word for it. The Bible says, the trials of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. You know what the Lord does? He tests our faith. Why is it that Jesus purposely goes to sleep right here? It's obvious. He's going to try their faith. Hey, if Jesus stayed awake on that boat during that trip, how would their faith have been tried? Why does he go to sleep? He does it on purpose. He's doing it on purpose to try their faith. Do you know what God wants for you and I? And I'll show you a couple verses on it a little later. You know what God wants for you and I? He wants us to be perfect. Amen. That's what the Bible says. Be perfect. Does that mean become sinless? No. That's impossible, according to the Bible. That's impossible. Then how can you become perfect? You can become perfect in faith. Are you? How do you become perfect in faith? By growing in faith until your faith is perfected. We okay? You with me so far this evening? Okay? So what does God want from each of us? To get to that point in our own Christian lives where our faith has been perfected. Why does Jesus go to sleep on that boat? He does it on purpose. Why? What is he seeking to do for those disciples? He's preparing them, brethren, for that time when he knows he'll be taken from them. He's preparing them for that time when they'll have to begin to live that life of faith. Where's that verse on the trials of your faith? That was Peter who wrote that. You think Peter knew something about that? See, Peter didn't start out with perfect faith. But the Lord, through circumstances in his life, begins to perfect, begins to work. What God wants from you and I and every Christian is get to that point of perfect faith, to be that perfect Christian. Do you have perfect faith? Have you grown in faith to that point where your faith has been perfected? May I just say something as means of confession before we go any further? My faith isn't perfect. Now, maybe there's some people here, your faith is perfect now, it's been perfected, and you're there. I'm still working on it. Lord's still having to work on me some with that. But I know what God's desire is. I know what his plan for my life is. I know what his plan for your life is. The Lord is trying to get you to that place of being that perfect man, that perfect woman. What is that? Complete faith. Complete, utter trust in God. Amen. And that's why I believe Jesus goes to sleep in this passage. As long as he's awake, no faith would be required. And so my message tonight, simply growing in faith. What's the first step to grow in faith? Well, the first thing you have to do is get saved. What does it take to get saved? Faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. How'd they start out? You know what Jesus said? Let's get on board. Hey, come on to the boat. Come on to the ship. Hey, I'm inviting you right now. Come to me into the boat. I'm getting in the boat. You coming in the boat? Let's go together. That's it. That's salvation. Salvation is that simple. It's just a step. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. You believe it? Have you trusted Christ? Have you put your faith in him to be your one and only means of getting to the other side? Amen. There's only one way to get to the other side. There's only one way to get to heaven. You got to get on the boat that Jesus is on. They didn't have a bunch of boats to choose from there. There was one boat. You get on or you stay where you're at. And all you could do to get on that boat was believe what Jesus said. That's it. Get on board. Come with me, I'll get you to the other side. Have you been saved? It's not hard to get saved. All you have to do is believe what Jesus said. All you have to do is trust him and get on board with Him. Have you done that? Have you responded by faith? The Bible says simply, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Call upon the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. Trust in Him. Put your faith and trust in what Jesus did for you. I appreciate the message that Brother Knox preached on the sacrifice that Abel offered compared to the sacrifice that Cain offered. And that's all it is. You're believing that the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ is your only way to heaven. You trust Him, and Him only is your Savior. You go to heaven. Trust anything else? You won't. Trust Jesus Christ? You go to heaven. Trust anything else? You won't. That simple enough for you? But I've been baptized, but I'm a good person, but I go... Trust anything else? Won't make it. Are you trusting Jesus Christ? You know what we want to do? We want to put one hand on Jesus and one hand on the church, or one hand on our baptism, or one hand on our good works, or one... No, that isn't trusting Jesus. Trusting Jesus is when you're hanging over a cliff and you've got one hand and Jesus holds down His hand and says, trust Me. And if you don't trust Me, you're falling. How's that for you? Plain enough? That's it. That's trusting Jesus. Jesus said, get on board. That's all there is to it. Your first step of faith, brethren, is just believing in Jesus Christ to save you. Let me ask you, how many of you have done that and know He saved you? Raise your hand. All right, you see, you took a step of faith. First step. That has to be the first step. That can't be the second or the third or the fourth. The first step has to be believing on Jesus Christ. What's the next thing? The next thing is you got to know where you're going. You got to know that as He promised, He would get you to the other side. Amen? You have to know that you have eternal life. Why? Because He said so. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. Listen, it's one thing to be saved. It's another thing to be saved and know it. See? That's the next step of faith. That next step of faith is saying, wait a minute, I can't do anything to keep it. He's keeping it for me. And that's a tough thing for some Christians to let go of because of that self-righteous nature of man. There's something I have to do to improve on what Jesus did for me. It don't work that way. See? You read that Bible, the Bible's real plain on that in Romans chapter 5. The fact that Jesus Christ could save you when you were His enemy in sin, how much easier it is for Him to keep you saved now that you're His friend. Yeah, you might still sin, you might still blow it, but compared to how you were, if He was able to save you when you were His enemy, it's a lot easier for Him to keep you saved now that you're His friend. Amen. See? You just have to get a hold of the fact that you know for sure you're saved. Are you saved? Oh yeah, I got saved. You're going to heaven? I hope so. No, listen, if you're saved, you're going to heaven. Did He give you eternal life? Do you have eternal life? Well, for now, well, then you don't have eternal life. If you have it, when does eternal life end? Do you have it? That's what He offers you. Have you gotten on board? Hey, if you're on board, guess where you're going? You're going to the other side. You might as well just get used to it. Amen. Can you imagine having a hymnal and not knowing for sure where you're going when you die? You know how many songs you'd have to take out of that hymnal? When we all maybe get to heaven... I mean, how would you sing the old songs of Zion? How I can't imagine all these Christians that don't know for sure where they're going. What does their hymnal have in it? You know, how it is well, hopefully with my soul. I mean, what are you going to, I mean, all these, so you look at all those songs in that hymnal, buddy, without eternal security, you couldn't sing any of those songs. See, you got to know for sure where you're going. Amen. You got to know. I like what Brother James talked about in that message. And he talked about the fact that, hey, if it was losing your faith that could get you out of the boat, they would have lost it. Because what happened to all them eventually in that boat? They lost their faith. And even then, they couldn't get out of the boat. How about that? And if that can't get you out of the boat, what can? You ever think about that? You know what's going to happen to you? You're going to the other side. Now, what you better do is start enjoying the trip. Amen. If you're saved, the next thing you need to understand is that you are saved, that you have eternal security, that you know, you have assurance, that you are going to the other side. Behold, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye will be with me also. Is that what he promised? Then quit calling Jesus a liar. Say, I'm saved, but I don't believe in that eternal security thing. That's because you think Jesus is a liar. Just face it. Just admit it. I don't think Jesus is a liar. I believe I can take his word on it. He said, you're going to the other side. You know what you best do? Best just believe Jesus. And see, that's so hard for some of you. You have to have the control of your salvation. No. Let go. See? Let go of it. Jesus is going to get you to heaven. You can't let go of it, or you'll never go any farther in your faith. You see? The Lord wants us to grow in our faith. But listen, if you're a Christian and you don't have eternal security down, I've never seen a Christian like that that grows very far in their faith at all. It can't happen. See? Why? Because they're doing works, not because they love the Lord. They're doing works to try to earn or keep their salvation. And that just messes the whole thing up. You just messed the whole thing up. But that brings us to the next point. Look there in verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. Now, number one, to grow in faith, you've got to trust Jesus Christ. Believe. That's where your faith starts, in Christ. Number two, you got to know, you have to have assurance of where you're going. But number three, listen, you got to do good works. What did it say? Who launched? Who launched? They did. Not Jesus. Who sailed? They did. Not Jesus. Who's doing all the work in that boat? Jesus gets on the boat. All right, fellas, let's go to the other side. What does Jesus do? He walks to the back of the boat, lays down. Hey, man, that ain't no cruise ship. That's a sailing vessel. That's a work boat. There's lots of work, all hands on deck. I mean, when we were in the Coast Guard, when it was time to set sail and get out there, hey, not some guy sitting around playing cards while everybody else is working. Everybody get busy. I mean, who does this Jesus think he is anyway? You know what he thinks? He thinks he's done enough work. You know what he thinks? Hey, I finished the work. What I needed to get done is done. It's finished, so I'm going to the back of the boat. I'm going to lay down. And you all get busy. Huh? You know, we think, well, I'm waiting for the Lord to help me separate from the world. No. You do that. He's laying down on the back of the boat. You all get out there, cut the line, push away, and get away from where you were before. That's your job. Jesus ain't going to do that for you. Amen. Well, I'm going to start doing good works after Jesus does some for... He ain't doing it. You get busy. Amen? Like I said, it isn't a cruise ship. It's a sailing vessel. I mean, they're getting underway. All right, let line one go. Let line two. Somebody hold the fenders. All right, somebody chart and somebody get up there in the crow's nest and get a lookout for us. Raise the sails. Toss the lines. Let's get going. Somebody get that fixed up and somebody get that paint. There's chips of paint over there. Fix that over there. And somebody else get on the helm and steer us out of here. Who's got the chart? Where's our quartermaster? Let's get going. And somebody... Everybody's working. Everybody's busy. Everybody's supposed to be doing something. And a lot of these Christians, they get on board and they think, well, I got on and I know where I'm going. This is a wonderful cruise. No. The Lord didn't tell you to get on board so he could take you to the other side for you just to sit around. You got some work to do. Amen? And if you're going to grow in faith, you know what you need to grow in faith? You're going to have to do some good works. Amen. Now, do good works save us? No. See, that's what, Brother A, I just don't understand what you're saying. Now, you said that we're saved by faith. Yep. But then you're saying we have to do works. Uh-huh. Sure, that's what the Bible says. Look in Ephesians chapter 2 and James chapter 2. Give you plenty of time to find it. Ephesians chapter 2 and James chapter 2. All right, that's long enough. Ephesians chapter 2. Y'all got it, right? Come on, sword drills, let's go. Ephesians chapter 2. Look at me in verse 8. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. For by grace are you saved, how? Through faith. Not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Praise the Lord. But then look at the next verse. For we are His workmanship. He ain't doing the work, we are. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The Lord expects us to do good works, not to go to heaven. We're already going to the other side. But see, the Lord's the one on the back of the boat now. It's time for us to get busy and do some works. Look in James chapter 2. James chapter 2, notice what the Bible says, James chapter 2 and verse 20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? How are you going to grow in faith without good works? You know what you got all over the place? These Southern Baptist churches, a lot of these Baptist churches, you know what you got going on? You go in there and you know what it's about? The message is going to be on what? How to get saved. How to know you're saved. And that's about it. That's as far as their faith goes. It has to go a lot farther than that. Amen? You need to get busy. What did he say? But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works? And by works, what? Was faith made, huh? Perfect. How's your faith going to be perfected? You've got to start working for Jesus Christ. And it's when you begin to work for Jesus Christ that you see Him bless, that you see Him open doors, that you see Him help, that you see Him direct. That's when you begin to grow in your faith. Amen. It's not just sitting there as a bump on a log saying, well, praise God, I'm saved, I'm on board, I'm going to heaven. I just can't wait to get to the other side. No, there's more to do in the meantime. The Lord just doesn't want you on the other side. He's trying to perfect something in you until you get to the other side. That's what He's doing here with His disciples. That's why He went to sleep on purpose. He's trying to perfect their faith. Now look back with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Stay with me. Stay with me now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 10, what does the Bible say? Here's Paul telling those Thessalonians that he's praying for them. What's he praying? Verse 10, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. What does the Lord want? He wants your faith to be made perfect. Look in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. What for? For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of what? The faith. You know what needs to happen? Each of you need to be perfected. God's giving gifts to the body of Christ for that perfection. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ. Now watch this. That we henceforth be no more children, what? Tossed to and fro. What's getting ready to happen on that boat? Huh? What's getting ready to happen on that boat? They're going to get tossed to and fro. And believe me, that's going to happen sooner or later. When you start getting tossed to and fro, are you going to get tossed overboard? Are you going to get so seasick and so injured that you're of no use? You know what needs to happen? You need to grow in your faith. You need to have that faith perfected. So he says in verse 16, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness in their heart. That's one thing for lost people. That's not okay for us. Time to get busy doing good works. What does he say? Verse 19. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. Is that what Christ's been teaching you? That you can just hang out on the poop deck? That you can just lay down in the stateroom while others are busy working? You're not going to grow in faith that way. If so be that you have heard and been taught by him as the truth is in Christ Jesus. Have you been taught by him? Hold your place there. Look with me in Titus. Titus. Have you been taught by him? What has the grace of Jesus Christ taught you? Titus. Look in chapter 2. Verse 11, I thank God I'm saved by grace through faith, and that my soul and me getting to the other side isn't dependent on what I do. Because I failed the Lord many times. But that does not give me an excuse for not doing everything in my power to do good works for Jesus Christ. Are you in fellowship? Hey, if you're on his boat, you ought to be working. You ought to be working for him. Amen. What does he say? Look at Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us. Jesus has been teaching you? What's he teaching you? Teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Looking for that blessed hope. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Looking forward to getting to the other side. And in the meantime, you think those disciples, while Jesus is asleep, are sneaking over to the back of the boat to grab a smoke? Think they're opening up the brewskis and having a good time and having a party and playing the rock music? Or are they trying to represent him and do what he told them to do until they get over to the other side? I believe he's been teaching them. We okay? Look back there in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21. If so be that you have heard of him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Is that you? Verse 26, be angry and sin not. Is that you? You don't lose your temper? Verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more. Is that you? But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Are you a giver now or still a taker? Are you doing the works? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. This is what Jesus is supposed to be teaching you. Have you been learning? Have you been listening? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. What's been coming out of your mouth just this week? Has it been pleasing to the Lord? Verse 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Hey, you're on Jesus' boat now. Amen? Act like it. Work like it. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We're going to stand before Jesus Christ one day at the judgment seat of Christ. We're not going to be judged there for whether or not we believed on Christ. The judgment seat of Christ is on the other side. We're going to the other side. You know what he's going to do over there? He's going to have a ledger. All right, what'd you do while you were on board? Well, you know, I just kind of hung out in the stateroom, and I figured there was other people on board. They could take care of the stuff. And there's a ledger. He's keeping track. Who's doing the good works? Payday's coming. He's keeping track. I'm trying to warn you. I'm trying to prepare you. You're going to the other side. Thank God. But when you get to the other side, there's going to be a throne. And there's going to be one sitting on the throne. And you're going to see him. And he's going to look at you. And you're going to say, what'd you do while you were on board? What'd you do for me? You want to grow in faith? There's only one way. Faith is wrought by your works. And without works, your faith is dead. It doesn't grow. It doesn't bring anything forth. It doesn't prosper. It doesn't bring that faith to perfection in your life that you need. Real faith produces works. Number one, get on board. Number two, know where you're going. Number three, do good works. Man, wouldn't it be great if that's all there was to the Christian life? And then we just go to heaven, go to the judgment seat of Christ, and that's it. Wouldn't it be great if that was all that was necessary for our faith to be perfected? But there's still something else that has to happen. Look back there in Luke chapter 8. Why'd he go to sleep? Well, what's getting ready to happen? Verse 23, but as they sailed, see, they're doing the work, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake. Brethren, this ain't no little lake. You understand Lake Galilee? That's like one of the great lakes. You in the middle of that thing, you don't see shoreline anywhere. It's huge. All right, they're not out on a pond here in a dinghy. They're out in a big old sailing vessel, and a storm comes up, and the waves are higher than that ceiling, crashing down over them. Wind from all directions. They're struggling to figure out what to do. They're pulling down the ropes from the sail. They're trying to manage the rudder. The water's coming in, and get their buckets and get something going. The thing's filling up with water, quick! And they're panicking. I mean, at first, maybe it wasn't so bad, especially for some of those guys on there. They were commercial fishermen. Some of those guys were tax collectors. I mean, the first 3-foot wave probably got them a little nervous. You know, they're like, hey, Peter, John, is this normal? Oh, man, it's nothing. I've been through hundreds of these. Nothing to worry about. Next time there's a 10-foot wave. Peter, this is okay, right? Yeah, no big deal, guys. We got it taken care of here. Next thing you know, 20-foot waves, 30-foot waves. When you're out on an ocean like that, water like that, and those waves coming at you, there is nothing around nowhere. There's no light. And it's every man for himself. And it's panic time. I've seen many come to Christ. I've seen many get on board. I've seen most get to a place where they knew and had assurance of their eternal destiny. I've seen some do good works. But I've seen few make it past the storms. I'm not talking about a rain shower. I'm talking about a hurricane. You ever been through a storm? I've seen plenty of Christians out there who witness and believe the King James Bible and pray and tithe and attend church regularly and raise a family for God and live clean lives and preach on the street. And then a storm comes. Then you don't see them no more. What happened? Where's your faith? What happened? Hey, I don't like the storms any more than you do. Would you agree Jesus knew there was going to be a storm? And would you agree he knew there was going to be a storm and went to sleep on the back of that boat on purpose? Why would he do that? To try their faith? Why? To perfect their faith? I wish all it took was good works to perfect our faith. I could just pray enough, I could go to church enough, I could read my Bible enough to perfect my faith. I wish that was the case, but it's not. You know what it's going to take? It's going to take some trials. It's going to take some storms. We read there about Abraham over in James, back in James chapter 2. And those works. You know what happened to Abraham? He was tried, the Bible says. He was tried. How was he tried? Abraham, give me your child. I hope to God that never comes my way. I hope to God that never comes my way. But bless God, if it ever does, I sure hope I don't lose my faith. That storm came up. Jesus says, where's your faith? They had it. You don't say, where is your faith, if they didn't have it to begin with. They had it. It's your faith. You had it. What happened? What happened? I hope to God, if I ever lose a job, I won't lose my faith. I hope to God, if I ever lose my health, I won't lose my faith. I beg the Lord that if I ever lose a battle, I won't lose my faith. And it's when the storms come that our faith is tried the most. And buddy, when it rains, it pours. And when that thing happens and that storm comes, you're not going to be able to get somebody else's life jacket. See, you can run a while on somebody else's faith. But when the hurricane happens and you're on board, you better have your own life jacket. And that's what those storms will do. They'll test your faith. Where's your faith? Now here's the question. Why did they wait so long to wake up Jesus? See, they were busy. They were doing the works. They were taking care of things. They had things under control. They were growing in faith, and they were going the other side. They had it all figured out. I mean, they had it laid out, and they knew exactly what time of the day they'd read their Bible, and when they'd pray, and when they'd eat, and they had their life organized, and they had everything just so-so, and things are going along. It's smooth sailing, buddy. And then all of a sudden, when those waves started coming, and they got real busy, and they were grabbing buckets, and they're bailing, and they got the pump, and they're trying to get the water out, and the water's coming in faster than they can get it out, and the sides of the boat are starting to creak, and water's coming in through the floorboards and the sideboards. And they're doing everything they can just to try to keep that boat afloat. And finally, when all hope is lost, hey, what happened to Jesus? And it's amazing sometimes it's in the trials that the Lord seems the farthest from us. He's right there. Finally, they said, man, what are we doing? We got to get Jesus. Because only He can fix this thing. Only He can still these waves. Only He can calm this storm. This is something beyond our control. You don't think God did that on purpose, do you? You don't think Jesus went to sleep on purpose, do you? You don't think he had him go that ship across there just so that that storm would be there on purpose, do you? Why would he do that? To purposely try their faith. You going to grow? I can't do anymore. One more. I can't do anymore. One more. Why? No pain. No gain. You know, churches go through storms. Just as individuals do, churches do. Sure they do. Yeah. As individuals, you go through storms, and churches go through storms. Remember, Paul's on that ship there in Acts chapter 27, and your Cliden comes along, that big old cyclone, typhoon. And buddy, they're in the middle of it. And you know what some of the guys on board decide to try to do at night? Sneak off the boat. That's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that when a church goes through a storm, you watch certain people try to get overboard, try to get off. Why? They don't like the storms. But listen, if Jesus is still in the boat, then shouldn't you still be in the boat? You want to get in a boat that doesn't have any storms? I'll tell you what you do. Get on a boat that doesn't have Jesus in it and ain't going anywhere. You just want smooth sailing continually? Only way is if Jesus ain't on board. He's going to bring you through the storm. Well, the Lord couldn't be in this! Yeah, he's right there. Why don't we go to him? Why don't we ask him to help us? Why don't we quit trusting ourselves? Trust him. That's when your faith is tested. He always seems to wake up just at the last minute, doesn't he? Where's your faith? That's what he asked him. Verse 25, he said unto them, where's your faith? They being afraid wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? Would you agree they got a better glimpse of Jesus? Better idea of who he was? A higher value of him than they ever had before? They esteemed him in a way they never had before? He was glorified before them more than he ever had before because of that storm, because of that trial. What manner of man is this? Wow! This is my Jesus. Wow! This is my Savior. Look what he can do. How great would Christianity be if it wasn't for the storms, huh? No pain, no suffering, no hardships, no persecution, no loss, no tears, no sorrows. You do realize this is the only time in the entire Bible you find Jesus going to sleep. Right when the storm's coming. You can't find another place in the Bible where Jesus ever slept a second. You find plenty of times where he's up all night praying. Only place in the Bible you find where Jesus sleeps. And it's when they're going through the storm. Doesn't he know? Doesn't he love me? Yeah, he's right there. Didn't he promise to take you to the other side? You'll get there. And after the storm subsides and there's a calm, you know what you'll realize? Man, there's more work to do than there was before. I got something to do until I get to the other side. Until then, he'll be back on the boat, sleeping, trying your faith. And every trial will make you stronger until you get to that place of perfection. That's what the Lord wants from us. Perfect faith. Are you growing? Is your faith growing? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. What word did Jesus give him? I'm going to get you to the other side. Do you believe me? I don't know, Lord. It's looking pretty grim. Do you believe me? Will you trust my word? Psalm 121. I mean, you can imagine these disciples going through this thing. How about if this had been, say, the fifth time they'd gone through it? Yeah, I bet after the fifth time this happening, oh, here we go again. Another one of these storms. All right, let's go in the back and lay down with Jesus till it's over. You imagine they'd handle it a little different after the third or the fourth or the fifth time? That's the idea, isn't it? Get experience. Tribulation worketh patience. Patience, experience. And experience, hope. We'll go to the other side. Now I really believe it. Now my faith has been perfected. Has your faith been growing? Are you on board? You know where you're going? Get busy. You know, the first few years of my Christian life, I didn't know about the storms. I'd hear people talking like that. I didn't know what they were talking about. I was serving God. I'm living for Jesus. I'm having a good time. I mean, I got a little persecution and stuff, but nothing I couldn't get over in a couple hours by sucking my thumb or whining to my wife. But as time goes on, your Christian life, see, you got to get beyond where you're at. You got to go to that next rung of the ladder. And that's going to take some storms. Psalm 121, you see, they had to have Jesus fall asleep on them. Amen? To try their faith. Now, the Lord ain't with us physically. We're already having our faith tried. And so let me just say this. You can rest assured that the Lord never sleeps. The Lord knows. The Lord is fully aware of everything. He's taking care of it. Will you trust Him? Psalm 121, verse 1, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. You don't have to wake him up. He's wide awake. He knows what's going on. He knows more than you think he does. Are you on board? Are you going to the other side? If the seas are kind of calm right now and things are going well, get busy. It's time to get busy. It's time to get something done. But when the waves come in high and the seas roar, you know he ever liveth. He's watching. He knows. And he's right there with you. No matter what happens, you've got the life jacket on. No matter what happens, you can rest with him at ease on the back of the boat. And after each storm, you'll see him a little clearer. You'll trust him a little more. You'll love him a little more. You begin to appreciate him a little bit more. Until your faith is perfected. Did you lose it? That's the question. That's the question he asked. Where? Where is your faith? You ever lose your keys? Where is your keys? Ask the kids going to church, where's your Bible? Right? Where'd you leave it? I don't know. Let me think. Where's your faith? Where'd you leave it? That's the only place you're going to find it. Go to that place, you lost it. Pick it up. That's where you'll find Jesus. That's where he's waiting for you. Let's stand for prayer. Father, I pray you bless the message. I pray, God, that you'd help all of us, Lord, in our trials of faith. We know that you desire to perfect us and help us to grow in faith. God bless.